welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And I'm just so excited today to introduce and to move forward with Suzanne White. When Suzanne White was faced with the opportunity to care for her parents, she embarked on a caregiving journey that would change her life. She shares this journey on her website, caregiverwarrior.com, offering experience, strength, and hope to help others navigate caregiving with grace and empowerment. Known for her authentic style and deep insight from firsthand caregiving experience, Suzanne is a best-selling author, gifted writer, exceptional webinar host, motivational keynote speaker, dynamic radio and podcast guest, and thought leader in the caregiver advocacy community. Her latest book, Self-Care for Caregivers, A Practical Guide to Caring for You While You Care for Your Loved One, is available on Amazon and at major bookstores, including an Audible audio version, perfect for caregivers on the go. So we welcome Suzanne White to our show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to be here.
You've got quite a story, and I just think, you know, I'm so glad, like, you know, when you and I were connecting on LinkedIn and stuff, I'm thinking, why have we not chatted before? Because you have such a great story, perspective, and everything. And I guess then for everybody out there who's listening and stuff, what can you tell us about your caregiving journey, Emmy? Because that's pretty critical for everything behind Caregiver Warrior.
Yes, it is indeed. And I'm actually on my fourth caregiving journey now.
Wow.
Seems that I am destined to be a caregiver. And I do believe that caregivers are born that way. I think caregivers are hardwired. They come with factory presets when they're born. But I started caring for my parents, my mom and dad, you know, from the Greatest Generation, and they were very close, and they were working very hard to hide from us the fact that my mom had early stages of dementia and my dad's heart issues were getting worse. And it was only when my dad had to be taken off an airplane because he was so exhausted from caregiver burnout that he had walking pneumonia. And they couldn't hide it from us anymore, because as he was recuperating at my sister's, we noticed that my mom was forgetful and quite lost without him.
Mm. Wow, that must have been difficult and just I don't want to say brutal, but just boom, you had to embark on caregiving. And so that was your first and second experience. How did that change you, or what inspired you to share your story?
Well, I think that it was brutal. I think caregiving can be brutal. It can be extremely wonderful and joyful, but I think it can be very, very exhausting and intense. And I took to it right away because they were my parents. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to care for them. I wanted to make them feel safe and you know, comfortable. So I didn't even think about it. I just said yes right away, having no idea what I was getting into,
right,
or what to do or how to do it. And sadly, I brought my personality to it, which was that I wanted to be perfect. I wanted to do it, you know, by myself, because it was my watch. And I wanted to do it, want to fix everything right away.
Mm-hmm.
So I really kind of stumbled a lot in the beginning, and did eventually hit some caregiver burnout myself, and realized that I would like to share my story, and perhaps I could help other caregivers survive and maybe avoid some of the big mistakes that I was making.
When you say big mistakes, or, you know, when you're talking about caregiving burnout and everything, yet you continued, what kept you going?
Well, again, it was my parents. And, you know, when our loved ones need help I think that most of us show up and we want to do everything we possibly can to help them. So I'd never hesitated. And I think the caregivers in general, you know, they don't wave the white flag. You rarely hear a caregiver say, okay, I'm finished. I'm not going to do this anymore. You know, we're sort of in it for the long haul. It's not something, I mean, I was never, ever going to not care for them. I just had to find new ways to care for myself as I was caring for them.
And that's so important. You certainly want to care for your parents, as you were saying, or you want to care for your spouse, as Dan and I do, but that caring for yourself is important. And Dan and I have wrestled with feeling like selfish at times. If Dan, for example, has to go get a massage, or I have some time with my girlfriends just for that. How did you navigate, or did you feel that way with your self-care?
Absolutely. And I think all caregivers do. I think that, you know, feeling guilty sort of comes with the territory. I hear a lot of people say how to reduce guilt and how to avoid guilt. And I don't think we can. I think because the stakes are so high and because the role is so important and we're so committed, I think that we're constantly going to feel like we have to do everything perfectly and everything has to be okay. And we have to have all the answers. And I think when we have those expectations and we are human, I think that it makes us feel bad. I think that we feel guilty. I think it's going to happen. However, I think we need to reframe what success means. I think we have to understand ourselves and get to know ourselves better, really have a lot of self-awareness. And I think that we have to accept the fact that mistakes are going to happen. We're human. We can learn from mistakes, and we're showing up. That's extraordinary. So many people can't show up. So we just have to sort of soothe ourselves out of our guilt.
Yes, that's a nice way to think about it, is soothe ourselves out of our guilt. And when those mistakes happen, and those moments where of frustration or just ignorance, if that, I don't want to say ignorance, but when you're just blindsided, or I didn't know something like this can happen, the self-care is so important, because it's like you said, we're not going to wave the white flag, or it's not like Dan's going to say, oh, I just can't do this anymore. Well, at least I hope he won't.
No.
So, you know, self-care.
Well, something, Suzanne, you said, because there were a couple times in what you're talking about and stuff, and you said, like, early on, you know, you tried to have the Suzanne way of doing things, and you were, you know, you wanted to be perfect, and you talked to her, you know, and I'm explaining this as far as self-care and people wanting to be perfect. When did you realize that you didn't have to be perfect? I mean, we can talk about how you're inspiring others, but where did you get the inspiration to realize, I'm not perfect, but this does not have to be perfect?
Well, I think it's something I've dealt with all my life. I mean, I grew up with a really critical mom, which made it interesting to care for her. And being perfect or doing things perfectly was my defense mechanism. You know, it kept me safe. So it was something that drives me all the time and still drives me to this day. I think I learned so much during my caregiving journey, even though I've always been on a journey of self-discovery. Caregiving really helped me understand and work on my behavior and my life, because I didn't have a choice. I was so exhausted and so burnt out and so frustrated and so scared, all those emotions that you feel. And I understood that something had to change. And my parents weren't going to change. You know, I mean, they were in their 80s. The situation wasn't going to change. I mean, it was going to develop and progress, but it wasn't going to change. So the only thing I had control over was me. I had to change. And slowly but surely, I learned that I needed to be self-aware, and I needed to understand how I was operating, what I was doing, why I was trying to do things perfectly, on how I could help myself heal around those issues so I could give myself a break.
Wow.
And that, you know, that striving for perfection is exhausting. I can only imagine as a caregiver to always be perfect is tiring. And then you, yeah, I can imagine get frustrated with people you're caring for, the person that you're caring for. And with multiple sclerosis, Dan and I, for example, were in it for a long haul. He's been caring for me and me for him for 20 years of our marriage. And so to accept that it doesn't have to be perfect, I think that would be the first self-care tip, is just to accept it doesn't have to be perfect. But for you, what sort of, I've read in your book, you've had a number of caregiving tips, but what would you say are your top caregiving tips, if there's an easy one or two that you can think of?
Well, quite honestly, I think it gets back to what I walked into my caregiving journey with. The three things of, I wanted to be perfect, I wanted to do it alone, and I wanted to do it right away. So I think the first thing we have to understand is that we need community. We can't do it alone. We need to reach, we're not built to do things alone. We're built to be part of a community. And that getting involved and having people who support us and allowing ourselves to ask for help, that we don't have to do it alone, that we don't know everything, really helps us open up to the experience. Mm-hmm. So for me, right, I had to really understand that I couldn't do it alone, and I most certainly couldn't do anything perfectly. I didn't have all the answers, and that was okay. I think the most important thing is we have to work really hard at being okay with doing as much as we can to the best of our ability. And that's hard for a lot of us. Because I think a lot of us are type A personalities where we want everything to be okay and we want to fix everything. And that's wonderful, and I understand that, and there's so many good intentions. Yet by showing up and doing the best we can may not look pretty, and it may not look perfect, and it may not solve all the issues. But we're there making an effort. And that's gold star activity.
Mm-hmm. And it is. It's interesting, the parallels between, as you're talking about caregiving, it's kind of similar to just being diagnosed with a chronic illness, that you need to show up, that you need to cut yourself some slack and not try and be perfect, and you need to reach out to your community. So I thought that was interesting, that you need to find someone so you don't go it alone. And with caregiving, it's great. It's so important to know that you're not in it by yourself, that you can find others to help support you. And
yes, absolutely. And that just because we ask for help doesn't mean there's something wrong with us, mm-hmm. or that we're bad caregivers, or that we're incapable. Mm-hmm. And as you talk about your diagnosis, you know, the chronic illness diagnosis of MS, I'm struck by, you know, the term acceptance. And I think so much of my battle with everything, all my journeys, and I actually had brain surgery 3 years ago. Oh, wow. And that was quite an interesting experience. It was benign and I'm good. But I think for me, acceptance is such an issue, and I think it's such a big, big thing to understand and work towards acceptance, because I think we fight ourselves and the situation, rightly so. And for me, I had a really hard time accepting that I couldn't fix everything.
Hmm. Yeah. And that has to be difficult, especially when it's your parents and you want to be the person to save, and you don't want this to happen. So knowledge, I would imagine, is really important too. The more you know about what the course of your care, person you're caring for, what to expect, I imagine that was comforting.
Yes, I think for me, absolutely. Knowledge is absolutely power for me. I think it makes me feel safer. I think it makes me, I think it motivates me. I think when I understand things, you know, I'm a very linear thinker, like it's a B, C, D type of person. Life doesn't run that way. But, you know, I think it's really good for me to do, do as much research, have as much information as I possibly can. Because I think it sort of takes the edge off the unknown a little. Mm-hmm. I think we're so afraid of the unknown, rightly so. You know, I think the future can be very scary, and I think it can hold us in a lot of pre-grief. So I think having knowledge, or knowing what to, not expectations, but knowing what to expect, I think is very powerful. I think it was very helpful for me, and very helpful for my personality.
Yes, I'm sure.
Now, and Suzanne, you said when we talked about caregiving journey, you said you had four.
Yes.
So interesting, talk about because, your parents.
Parents, well, my parents, I lost both of my parents. And then I had another family member who had cirrhosis of the liver. So I was really involved in her care. And now I have another family member who has a chronic lung disease.
Oh, wow.
So it's been, you know, sort of a different type of journey each time. And yet the similarity, and I get better, I think, at it. I think I get better
at
being, yeah, I think so. I think I'm more aware of caring for myself. I think I'm more aware of the needs that I have. However, I think that the journeys, although very different, there's a similarity in that I need to respond rather than react. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, I have lots of old habits, and even things that I think I've not so much gotten over, but things that I've learned or things that I'm wise about will crop back up, and I'll go, oh my goodness, I guess I didn't learn that lesson at all.
So then at what point, because when you talk about, you know, caregiving for your parents and everything, when did caregiver warrior come along? Because it's one thing to be a caregiver and just tell your friends about it and stuff, but when did you say, I need to make this part of a bigger conversation and a bigger community?
Well, it's interesting because I was a singer-songwriter when I was a kid, so I was very involved in writing music and writing. So when I was caring for my parents, I was journaling, which I highly suggest everybody does, because there's absolutely something about brain activity when you literally put a pencil or a pen to paper. So I was journaling a lot, and I was gathering a lot of information, and I thought, you know, maybe I could help somebody else by sharing authentically what I'm feeling and some of the pitfalls and some of the mistakes I made and some of the lessons I've learned. So I started a blog, and it caught on. And I think the more authentic I was, the more people related to it. And it kind of just grew.
And that writing, I thought that was interesting. Suzanne, I hope you don't mind me telling you a little backstory, but my father passed away in October of 2024. I would say maybe a month before he passed, I started journaling. I have horrible handwriting, so I did it online. I did it on my phone and just every day. And I find that resource and just the photos, and because when you go through the grieving, you know, with my father passing away and grieving with a chronic illness diagnosis, you know, I don't walk anymore. So I grieve for what I was able to do, but just to be able to journal about it and to look back, to take photos, I find that so helpful. And you with your journaling and then with your blogging, and how powerful and important has that been for you? Just, do you continue doing that?
Absolutely. It's life-saving for me. And I always find it kind of interesting. I find that writing in general is a very almost divine act. It's almost as though there are times when I don't even realize, you know, my voice will flow, or I'll say things or write things, which will surprise me. Not only when I go back to read them, but even as I'm writing them, I think, oh my goodness, do I feel like that? It's almost as though by writing it down, and however you do it, just getting the feelings out and expressing them, you know, there's a saying about get it out of your head and onto your lips, just by getting it out, I think is miraculous. I think it's very powerful.
And so therapeutic as well to look back and see that just maybe how you grow, or just when you see like, oh yeah, I remember that moment, and just I was so dark, and just to be able to kind of have that memoir, if you will, of what you went through, just to remind you that you did it. And sometimes I find that I myself, it's just helpful to see like, yes, you made it through that. It's a good reminder.
Exactly. It is a good reminder, and it's a wonderful reminder. And it's I think it really helps us find balance almost, you know. I mean, I think I think by getting it out of our minds and putting it out somewhere, and also even talking to someone else, talking to the caregiver, or great communication with those you care for, I think getting our feelings out and the memories out, I think is invaluable. I think it's really, really important. And I think it really helps us find that balance and give us hope. I think it helps us, you know, I think even though we're exhausted, I think it gives us strength.
Yes. And that's important. And that's part of self-care, is to be able to find that balance. And I know I giggled when I was reading your book and you talk about the importance of the bathroom, just to get away and just to have those moments. And even, you know, I would imagine Dan and I don't have children, but even if you're a parent, or, you know, when you get that original diagnosis of your illness, just the bathroom is so like a little moment of solitude. And as you're caregiving and taking that time for yourself to just get away, and that to me was, that really resonated with me. So it's nice to see that other people feel that as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I would go in the bathroom and grab towels, like the bath towels, and just bury my face in it and just cry, or, you know, and just, I mean, just let it out, and then kind of then wipe my face off, kind of put the towels back, and then say, okay, you ready for dinner? You know, I mean, it's just, you know, and that really helped me, that space. And sometimes I would just lock myself in there for, you know, if everyone was safe, obviously, you know, but right. I would, you know, I've been times where I've just like locked myself in the bathroom and just sat there. And I mean, you know, we're laughing because it's funny, but it's not funny. We need those moments where we just let it all out and just, you know, just stop the stimulus, just sit there and just go, wow.
Yeah.
That was, I just need a minute, you know?
When I think that's what, you know, when we talk about the book and title of the book, it's from 2022. It's Self-Care for Caregivers, a Practical Guide to Caring for You While You Care for Your Loved One. And I think this was such a genius book. I think what I like, and I like it because it's not like a novel. I love just the tips, just everything. When did you decide this is what I need to write? This is what the world needs. And I agree, the world needs this.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I'm really, really proud of it. So interestingly enough, I was on Instagram, which is a really great form for me to write because it's not that many words, but it's just not, it's not like a tweet or a Twitter. And I was sort of blogging and doing stuff, you know, like writing, but I would be on social media, and Simon & Schuster, Adams Media, reached out to me and they said, oh my goodness, we love your content. Would you be willing to work with us and write a book?
Nice.
And I said, yeah, sure. I would love
Hello.
That.
Yeah.
Hello. You know, and the, and they came up with the format, which is brilliant.
Totally.
Because it's, and the irony is that obviously I was writing it and I knew how many I had to do and how many words, and, you know, it's a, you know, writing is a system, you know, I mean, it's a discipline, and I knew what I was doing. But when I got the book, when they completed the book and they sent me the copies, I realized, of course, there was one tip on each page or one suggestion on each page for four different categories. And it's, you don't have to read it. You can just open it up and look at something right there.
Yep.
And it's wonderful because caregivers don't have time to read or listen. You know what I mean? So, and the other thing is they did an Audible. They did a audio version, which is amazing. And it's, so it, I'm really happy with it because I feel that it literally does help caregivers when they're in a pinch, or if they have, even if they have 5 minutes, they don't have to spend much time to feel a little bit better.
Absolutely.
And you feel that connection when you read your word, Suzanne. It, again, you read it and say, someone else understands. Someone else is going through this. And it is that community. And I think that's so important. And that's such a gift because I know with my mom and with my brother, when we were caring for my father, it would have been really nice when you have those crazy moments and you think, oh, we're the only people going through this. And then, boom, here's a book. And you see, yeah, Suzanne gets it. You know, even though you're a thousand miles away, you.
That's so lovely.
Yeah.
It speaks to me about the me too. Me too. Mm-hmm. You know, I think every caregiver needs that me too from someone.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So that we don't feel so isolated or alone or even crazy. You know, sometimes I felt like I was crazy. I was crazy making, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was the goal. The goal was for me to try to do something or write something so that someone could say me too, so that I'm so honored that you said that. It means so much to me.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah. That's exactly when I was reading and I was thinking, oh yeah, my mom could have totally. So thank you.
And for everybody out there listening, we will have links to where you can buy a copy of the book in the show notes, and where you get your podcast, or on our website is acoupletakesonms.com. Just so you go there and you can just read through it and check out where you can get it, because it is such, I mean, it is so helpful for caregivers. And so thank you for writing it, Suzanne.
Oh, thank you so very, very much. It was a joy, you know. I mean, it was a joy to do it, and it was amazing. You know, I really tried to keep my voice, and because I really felt like, I have been here, I've done that. I have the T-shirt. I ate the popcorn. I know. I think so many of us that I always say we have different paths, but as caregivers, we're on the same journey. Mm-hmm. We have so many similarities, even though we meet the challenges as individuals.
And what's interesting is that you have talked about being on your fourth caregiving, that it's a continuation. It's a continued process that this caregiving, it doesn't stop. That these tips and this is going to carry you through so much more than just when you're, like for me, when my dad died, I can use these tips for other parts of my life, and I appreciate that. That it's just, it's good. It's comforting, and it's a good resource. So.
So thank you. You know, I think that, you know, so often we say, you know, avoid caregiver burnout. And, you know, I don't think we can avoid burnout. And I don't think we can avoid feeling our feelings or feeling guilty or fear or anger. I for me, caring for ourselves isn't about avoiding anything. It's about managing things and allowing ourselves to feel okay about it and not beating ourselves up or not feeling, you know, so often I think we feel like we're not good enough or we're not doing enough or we don't have enough. And it's not true. We have to reframe that. We have to, and I hopefully that's what I'm communicating with the book, is that here's some suggestions and strategies, but the bottom line of it is you deserve these strategies and you deserve to take care of yourself. It's not a luxury. This is really important. It's critical that you take care of yourself, because if you get sick or you're exhausted or you don't have something to give, who's going to take care of them?
It's like, you know, I always tell Jennifer, it's like, you know, we need to be at our best. So, you know, because if I'm not at my best, I can't help her. And so it's just like, that's where she's good as somebody I care for, because she's the one that pushes the self-care. And so, I mean, that's where she's like, Dan, you need to do this. You know, it's just like, almost like I need permission from her so that I don't burn my, you know, so that I don't burn myself out. So I need to be more self-aware. So thank you, Suzanne.
Absolutely. Yeah. We, if we have somebody giving us permission, that is golden. It's so wonderful, you know, and sadly sometimes we don't. So we have to give ourselves permission. It's, again, this is not, you know, and look, I know it's hard, you know, it's like I wrote a blog recently, you know, recently about self-care is not like yoga and bubble baths. It's like not all yoga pants and bubble baths. It's, you know, self-care is saying, wait a minute. What do I need? Like, what's going on with me, and how can I help myself? Because obviously I'm not my best self right now, and I deserve, and I have to give myself permission to say, hey, what am I feeling? How am I doing physically, emotionally, spiritually? What do I need right now?
Let me ask you this then, Suzanne, because as I'm thinking through this and everything, because we can sit as caregivers and say, this is what I need. Is there a challenge then? And how do you explain this then to the person you're caring for to say, I need a moment beyond locking yourself in the bathroom?
Right. Yeah. Well, we have to lock ourselves in the bathroom. And see, and this is the thing, you know, it's like boundaries in a way, you know, boundaries are not walls. They are guidelines. Mm. We need to take that time. I have found in my life and through my journeys that any time I've gone to anyone, including my mom who had dementia, so you have to think about that for a minute. Any time I've expressed a need to take care of myself, they were all for it, you know? And I know when I was somebody who was caring for me after my brain surgery, I could see how worried everybody was. And I said to them, please go do something. Go have a piece of, you know, go to Trader Joe's and get that chocolate thing you like, or go take a walk, or, you know, I'm okay right now. As long as people are okay, I wanted them to communicate with me and say, hey, I wanted them to say, I need a break. What do you want to do about that? And I found that with my parents, even with my mom, I found that with my other relatives, you know, they were like, oh, absolutely. I want you to take care of yourself. I don't want, it's too much. You're hovering over me.
Yes. And that's so important, just for you to be taking care of yourself and to be at the best, because your family or the people that you're caring for, if they love you, which I'm sure they do, they want you to be in your best case, you know, to be in your best state. So that's why the self-care is so important.
So. And they worry about us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, well, some of the best advice I got on the phone is when I really had a bad caregiver burnout moment. It was like 5 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, and I just woke up in an absolute panic attack. Nothing was going to be okay. I was going to hurt my parents. I wasn't going to be able to do it. Just horrible. And I had someone, I called another caregiver, which thank goodness I took care of myself, called somebody I trusted, wonderful caregiver. She got me immediately, made me feel heard, told me I was in burnout, and gave me advice. And she said, if your parents are okay, and it was in the beginning of my journey with them, if you have them set up, you've done the house, the groceries, because I was a long distance caregiver, you've taken care of everything. They're safe. They're sound. You have the medications. You have the food. Everything. Leave. Get out. Mm. What? Get out. Leave. And the minute you're on the highway, you're going to feel better. Talk to them. See if they feel fine with it and get out. And I did. And I said, you know, guys, would you mind if I left a little early today? So, you know, my mother said, oh, my goodness, absolutely. You'll beat the traffic. And I worry about you in the traffic. So that would make me feel great.
Wow.
So
yeah.
I did. And sure enough, I hit exit 4 on the New Jersey Turnpike and it felt like I had this big weight lifted off me because I needed to get away from it for a minute.
And that's the importance of being aware of yourself and knowing to prevent that burnout. And sometimes as Dan is my caregiver and I don't want to say this and
you
embarrass
looked at me
you,
fine.
But
right,
sometimes
ahead.
There are moments where I will just look at him and I'll say, just go take a beat. You need to just step away. You need to, I'll remember, just go to the bathroom and have your moment. And just because, you know, when he's my caregiver and I can be a lot sometimes, Suzanne, to be perfectly honest. And I'll just say, you know, you need to take care of yourself. So I think that's really good. That's important. And it's good to share.
It is. And it's so amazing that you do that. It's wonderful because, you know, giving him that permission and or expressing that, I'm sure means the world to him because somewhere he knows that he's got to do that because we do know,
yes.
But we hesitate, you know, and to get that kindness from you and that permission is really amazing. And it gets back to really, for me, communication is an amazing tool. We cannot work on communication enough.
No.
And like I said, even with my mom who had dementia, right? There was a level of communication and a way of communicating that was really important to us. I always wanted to make her feel that she was part of the team and that she had a say in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there were times when she didn't understand the circumstances, but just the energy around the conversation of having really open communication is extremely important. And the fact that you guys can talk to each other like that, I think is brilliant and really, really, really makes the entire situation so much healthier and easier.
Absolutely.
Mm, yeah, thank you.
Well, Suzanne, we could talk to you all night. Uh-huh. This has been such an incredible conversation. I mean, is there anything else for our listeners, for us, that you're like, I need to tell this? Because you have such good advice on everything.
Well, thank you so much. I think the basic thing for me, caregivers and our loved ones, we are all going to make the right decisions, right? I mean, this is, we're all trying so hard to make all the right decisions. I don't worry about even caregivers understanding the logic of deciding to take care of themselves while they care for others. What I worry about is how they beat themselves up.
Mm.
That, you know, that we are constantly thinking that we're not brave if we ask for help, or that we're bad caregivers if we take care of ourselves. I really want us to stop beating ourselves up and start giving ourselves a break. We need, you know, we're kindness factories. So we need to take some of that kindness for ourselves. Be kind to ourselves. We're doing an extraordinary job for extraordinary people in extraordinary circumstances. So just be really kind and loving to yourself.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That is so true. And I couldn't have said it any better.
Wow. Well, Suzanne, thank you again for taking the time to chat with us today. Reminder, then we will have information about Suzanne and how you can follow her on Caregiver Warrior, and also have a link to her, how you can buy her book, Self-Care for Caregivers, in our show notes and on our website at acoupletakesonms.com. So Suzanne, thank you. Thank you again for taking the time to connect with us.
Well, thank you so much. This has been a real joy.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And so until next time, we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman, and I'm walking.
I'm Jennifer Digman, who's Roland.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. And together, we're moving forward. Take care.